Hello, Light Beans. I'm Kelly, the founder of The Gypsy Mama, and welcome to the Soul Deep podcast. This podcast is all about helping you make sense of your spiritual dance as you navigate the highs and lows of your ascension. I'm a spiritual mentor, meditation facilitator, and a wild woman at heart. My mission is to guide fierce as fuck powerhouses to push the boundaries and smash glass ceilings. There's no limits in my world. My unfiltered conversations will ascend and expand you in the different dimensions of growth, and you will learn that within the rawness, you will soar. Going deep within is often the very place we rise. So enjoy this next episode and feel free to share the love. Tag, share, write reviews. It will expand me wildly and spread the word that this new kid on the block is here to stay. Excited to be here. Now, I want to talk to you about raising spiritually gifted children. Whoo, Nelly. And you know, it's so interesting. We are about the third week in January right now, and we have just hit Mercury retrograde. And I don't know about you, but I feel it in every part of my body every single time. No matter how many times I say Mercury retrograde is not going to be my bitch, it always is. Because I feel energy deeply, just as our children do. So it makes sense to feel it. You know, all our tech is gone to shit. Nothing's loading on my Facebook, nothing's flowing, you know, and sometimes we just need to sit in deep rest. Sometimes we just need to restore. So do whatever you need to do in this moment, in this week, whenever it's, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're moving, try to be in flow as best you can and honor your body whichever way you need to. Just a beautiful reminder, it's okay to be human. We love the spirit, we love all of the things around that, but sometimes a human in us just needs to stop. And sometimes when Mercury retrograde hits us as deeply as what it is, just stop. It's okay. It's your friendly reminder, just check in with yourself, slow down a little, hold space for yourself, hold your heart if you need. Right, let's get into it. Let's get into episode 4. I'm excited to talk about this because I feel like firsthand I've been on this roller coaster ride, as many parents have. You know, often we're spiritual types. Now, I want to be very clear with you. This is just my take. This is my take on raising two absolute spiritual powerhouses in their most beautiful, unique way that they are brought into this earth. It is only my journey. Each child is unique. Each parent is unique. In whatever journeys, traumas, awakenings you have had, you are all unique. This is just how I have ridden the wave of being a parent to these magical souls. Now I want to take you back to my first episode where I was explaining to you my journey and how it all began. And it all did begin with my son, who is an absolute spiritual powerhouse. He holds energy. He is a healer at heart. And when he came into this world, he woke me up in more ways than I could possibly understand. He was here for purpose, just as my daughter is. But I want to take you back first to him, because when he was first born, it was very unique in the way that he was. Now, I intuitively tuned into his energy from a really young age. I didn't understand it. I wasn't woke by that stage. I probably had a good understanding, but not a solid understanding at all. But he taught me everything that I know in more ways than one. And going through that journey, there was many things that happened from when he was really young that woke me up on different levels. So he could hear spirit, see spirit, communicate with spirit. He felt the energy of people for years. As he was little, I used to creep into his room and he would wake straight away. And I thought, God, this kid has the most sensitive fucking hearing I've ever, like, I don't understand. Like, I'm so quiet. It took me till he was about 2 to understand he felt energy. So when we are raising these spiritually gifted kids, often they are hypersensitive to energy. They are emotional empaths, but they feel the frequency of energy really, really intensely. Everything is heightened in their world. And this was my son. He was super heightened. As it was, he didn't hear shit. He needed grommets. So I used to think, how could he not hear that aeroplane? But yet I'd creep in his room and he would move, like pop his head up straight away and like, hey, mum. I'd be like, fuck, shit. Like, so I felt like I was on eggshells with you. When he was younger, there were so many things that I had to change. And I swore in having children, they were going to fit into my life. I wasn't going to work around them. I wanted a flexible child. I wanted them to be able to be, you know, just be able to mold with the flow of life. I'm a fly by the seat of your pants. I thought my children would be the same. Yeah, no, not my son at all. If people came into his space, he would scream in their faces. He liked his energy in his aura. He could feel people's energy so quickly. I was like, man, this kid is so sensitive. Like, if he went to sleep, he always had to have a blanket. And I really struggled with the attachment of things. So he would have this blanket and it would protect him. And it wasn't till I actually went to a psychic reading that she actually said to me, give him the blanket. And I'd be like, how do you even know he's got a blanket? She said, it's actually the grandfather protecting him at night because so many spirits are trying to get to him. And that kind of was the first sort of wake up to going, okay, this kid is seeing so much more than I am realizing. I need to look into this at a deeper level. So that then ventured into he needs a light on at night. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, I don't want my kids like molded into this way. Like, I want him to be flexible. I want to go camping and we don't have a light, so it doesn't even matter. Like, come on, like, what's going on? Like, that's how I was first child. I had no idea. I didn't get it. I was just flying by the seat of my pants. As we, when we know better, we do better. But the light was actually protecting him. So he had a salt light in his room for really, really young. And once we kind of did those things, it became really aware to me that he was getting so much activity at night. So the house that we were living in at the time, it was like the bedroom, formal lounge, you know, then we had games room, then another lounge, and then around the side were the three bedrooms. It really was designed for older kids. But it was our first house. It was meant to be our forever house. We could grow a massive family in it. But now that I know and am who I am, that house was fucking riddled with spirits. It had bad energy in it. And I didn't know the sage. I didn't know Palo Santo. I didn't know Reiki symbols, the clear homes. I probably would have been different energy now. But just waking up, unknowing that there was darkness in the house, my poor son was through the thick of it on so many different levels. He would run from his bedroom screaming that there was a bad man in my room. He'd saying bad things, Mummy, saying bad things. He was teeny tiny. And he could just feel, it was like someone was murdering him in the middle of the night. And it wasn't till I actually slept in his room one night that I felt the creepiest feeling of my life. I felt like someone was watching me through the air vent. I had goosebumps the whole time. It makes my skin tingle just thinking about it. Ugh, gives me the heebie-jeebies now, knowing that that energy, that entity was so friggin' dark. And my poor son was sleeping with that every single night. No wonder he was wired as fuck. No wonder he wouldn't sleep. So from really young, right up until 6 months, I had to rock him to sleep. I was naturally his protector from really young. Now remember, our children pick us to be their parents. We don't even know what we're doing half the time. And I remind my kids beautifully, well, you picked me to be your parent. You might not agree with what I'm doing or what's going on, but you picked me. When you came down upon this earth, you picked me. And it makes sense as him growing up, I used to walk around the house. He used to stick to me when there was this entity around. I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. I was trying to understand it. But as he got older, he could communicate it better with me. And I would be doing the dishes at the sink and he would stand right on the back of me. Like, I mean, leaning against me, playing his little DS or whatever. And I'd be like, go sit on the lounge, dudes. It's all right. No drama. He'd be like, no, 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 no. And that's how I knew, okay, there's something around the house. There's something. And he would say to me, he doesn't come near me when you're around, Mum, because he's scared of you. And I'd be like, I've got goosebumps. Really? And he'd be like, yep, every time. Because I used to just walk around, fuck off, leave my son alone. I don't know who the fuck you are to fuck off. Which is kind of what you do now. That's what you do. Get out of my house. You're not welcome. The spirit is not welcome. See you later. Bye. And I was doing that intuitively, not even knowing, but it gave him a safety net. It gave him an understanding that he wasn't alone on his journey, that someone else could hear, feel, see, know that something else was going on. So he used to watch them walk around the house and he knew if they were good or if they were bad. He would tell me his dreams and it'd be the same sort of dream constantly. He would tell me that, you know, we're going to have a car crash. You know, this is going to happen. He told me for about 6 weeks and I'd be like, oh my fucking God, this kid's cooked. Like, I was a little bit like that. I've got to be honest with you. And then eventually I was like, I need to do, he's not giving this up. What's going on? So then I'd ask him more questions about it. And then eventually we went down a road and he'd be like, stop, mum, this is where you crash car. And I'd be like, fuck, okay. So I'd putter around the corner, like just really slow as respect for him, but also like, shit, I need to listen to this kid. This kid knows more than what I know right now. And then he'd be, then I'd ask him, so who was in the car? He'd say, me, you, but you got a baby in the belly and it's a girl. And daddy, but daddy has to go to hospital. He get hurt. And I'd be like, okay, right, okay. And then every time I'd hit that corner, stop, mum, this is where you crashed, remember? I'd be like, okay, mate, all good. And we'd just go around the corner really, really slowly. But he knew, he felt it, he dreamt it, he could feel it through every part of his body. That poor boy was carrying all that weight from really, really young. And this is what happens. These beautiful, spiritual, gifted children that are like hypersensitive to energy, that can feel, see, know, they feel so isolated when they're first growing into this because they know they're different. They know that not everyone can see what they're seeing. They know that things, that they have this sixth sense to know that they are unique and different. So they feel very scared to share their magic. And it wasn't until I started creating conversation around it that it's like, that's all right, dudes. It doesn't matter. You don't have to tell me, but I'm here. I'm open to hear. And then I'd start to go, so did you see anyone when we went on our adventure? He goes, yeah, there was lots around at that place, Mum. I'm like, really? And then I started to take him to crystal shops and he would be calm as fuck. He would potter around in these shops. It was like Disneyland to every other child, but to him, he would walk like he... Sorry, Disneyland to him, but to any other child, it would be like the most worst place in the world. And he would just potter around and play with everything, pick up crystals. Oh, I love this one, Mom. And he would get a little collection for him. And then he'd put them under his pillow. He knew to put them under his pillow. I became more aware and got black tourmaline and put it in his room. So I created a dome. Like I was in all of this. I didn't understand any of it. The more that I asked questions about it, the more that I went to other crystal shops and asked them, oh, look, my son's really sensitive. What do you advise? What should I do about this? Where should I go? The more I actually got to understanding, the more that he felt understood. That's probably the biggest thing about raising spiritually gifted children. Knowing that they are safe, knowing that they are protected, knowing that they are unique and beautiful, and it is okay. They feel all these beautiful things that they feel. So someone that is an emotional empath or a child that's hypersensitive, you would struggle with them at birthday parties. It'd be way too much energy. So we didn't go to a lot. Or if we did, we'd kind of come in later, then leave earlier. Couldn't go to the movies for years till he was well over five, it felt like, because the energy and the vibration, now even myself can feel that vibration coming through that cinema screen. So he would just get worked up, hyperventilate almost just to... So much energy. His little body could not cope it. We kind of keep them in cotton wool in many different ways. And it was important to know that, you know, if there is something they're deeply connected to, like a blanket or, you know, like even a teddy or whatever, they often feel the need to sleep with it because it actually is their protection, because it is a message from the grandfather or the grandmother or something like that in many different ways. So that is a really big thing, and it is something that I've noticed through all the children that I bring through in the Zen Den. They're the same sort of thing. They often need the salt lamp because the light doesn't allow the darkness to come in so intensely. Sure, there's darkness everywhere, but the spirits don't come in and poke them and nudge them and constantly try and get their attention through the night because they know they're light. They know they can share a message with them. So they'll poke and prod, and I get it myself where they're trying to wake me up all the time to activate me to share a message, or hey, if it's not light, it's dark. It's either way, they're coming to try and get some form of communication on earth often. Past loved ones, you know, spirits passing through that want to share a message, or can you help me pass over to the next level? I'm stuck in fourth dimension. Let me go up to here. Like it's always, they get that as well. Don't think that they don't get it, but they don't understand it yet because they're still new on this earth and trying to work out how it all works. Then obviously in comes my daughter, second child, fierce as fuck, fire through her veins, Scorpio energy. So you can imagine, bless her, love her. She was here to protect him. From really, really young, she was here to protect his spirit. I remember a time that my son was getting bullied at primary school when he was really young, year one or two it was. This dickhead kid, bless his cotton socks, but obviously he didn't know any better, came and used to just pick on him. He was a target, dark, light, you can imagine. And he whacked my son in the head, and I'll never forget it. My daughter must have been three or four. And she turned around and said, "You do not hit my Jackie in the head." And I'll never forget the point and the fire that came through that little girl. I was just like, oh, man, she's going to break you. There's no negotiation. And that was a sign. Psychics had told me that she was here to protect him. She was always the voice. You know, if there was anything that was going on with him, she was the one that was going to be able to share it. And it's not until now that they're older that my son's the warrior sort of energy who holds his own. He doesn't need to, because we've nurtured that spiritual journey as best we could. And yeah, from young, she was here to protect him. And that's what she was. If I was telling him off, she'd jump straight in. "No, mum, no, mum, no, mum. You know, tell Jackie off. You know, tell Jackie off." And I'd be like, what the fuck? I've got him doubling up on me. This is ridiculous. So yeah, spiritual empath children, spiritually gifted children, feel things super intensely. So the important thing is to keep them safe, keep them protected, know their energy, know when things are enough. Stop trying to push them into boxes is probably the biggest thing. Like, everyone else is going to the movies, why can't my son go to the movie? We're going to keep going to the movies to the point that the kid has anxiety, to the point that the kid is rattling because it's too much for their energy. Learn to nurture them into what is their magic. Learn to understand them in the best way possible, because what I have found in my journey with my children is they are not me, first and foremost. They are beautiful, unique little individuals, tiny little humans that are magic in their own way. And learning as a parent, we often think when we first have our children, they're going to be mini-me's, they're going to be molded like me, and they're going to be just like me, and I'm going to make them do this, and they can do this, and they're going to dress this way and do this way. And they come into this earth with so much history, past lives that they have lived that, you know, feed into this current life where they become warriors. And like, my daughter is a natural warrior from really young. She's been the voice for the people that cannot speak. She has this beautiful, and her spiritual side of things isn't so much, she is an empath, but not a deep emotional empath like my son. He's probably transformed and moved in that way as well. But my daughter is very much has the best bullshit radar going around. It doesn't matter what you're doing. She reads your body language. She can tell exactly when you're lying, and she knows exactly your energy. She will pick up if you're dark or if you're light, if you're a dickhead or if you're nice. She will know it. She will sit with no opinion, but she will feel it. She will go, and then I'll say something. I'll say, I knew it. She always knows. She's like, "Mum, there's just something off there." I'm like, "I know, but, you know, until they prove us differently." She goes, "I know, I know." And, you know, we always come with a nice, wide, open heart. And she knows that as well, but she will feel it. She will feel the energy, your nature, your personality in a millisecond. And I love that. That's how she's spiritual. That's how she can feel things are going to happen before they happen. She reads things really well. She reads the energy. She reads the frequencies of things happening around her. So she, on the outside, looks completely different to my son. They're both super spiritual, but they're both unique in the way that they're spiritual. My son was very much seeing, hearing, knowing, communicating, feeling energy, like he's Reiki too. So whereas my daughter is, "I don't need Reiki, I'm all good." She'll have it when she needs it, but it's not a big part of her life. Whereas my son is like, "I need the Reiki and I feel the Reiki and I want to be part of that Reiki." So there's a different energy. Whereas she'll come and do connecting. She wants to be in the nature, and she wants, you know, the beach is cleansing, and she likes her quiet time. She's a bit of a hermit. She likes to hide in a room and, you know, connect into that way. That's the sort of energy. Each of them are completely different in their own way, but both magical little spiritual powerhouses, because that is the beauty of life. We are not all the same. As spiritual woo-hoo-woo lovers, we are not all the same, and that is the best thing about it. So the best way that I personally have raised both of them is, one, to know who they are. Not try to make them any different. Try to raise them as decent human beings. Look, Don't get me wrong, my daughter and I have had our ups and downs. She's fire like me, and I've had to learn to be more water. But, you know, there's times that I will not tolerate her behavior as well. So there's learning to understand that I know that that's important to you, but that's still not fucking nice, and that's not helping out, and that's not part of the journey here. We are on earth, and this is what we need. And our past life history has been heavy. If you like, I've healed so many of our past lives because they have been in a negative, toxic relationship. So we fight because our past lives is where we fought. So I have to heal them, find a balance, find the water within them so we can then come in. So knowing who they are, knowing what's important to them, knowing that it's okay. And in speaking with my son, I ask him often, what's one thing growing up that was really big for you that really helped you to go into your spiritual gifts? And he will often say, sitting with me when I go to sleep, because it's the most scariest time is when they go to sleep. Going to sleep is a massive trigger for them because they know they are going to get bombarded by spirit. So it can be, you know, having given them crystals, allowing them to have music, having salt lamps, things like that are a massive thing for them. Because when they sleep, it's like darkness rises. And that's when they come in. That's when they're trying to get into you and communicate with them. And that is scary when they're little. That is a big thing. Communication is massive. Communication has been a very big thing. I'm a Gemini, so I speak about anything and everything on every level possible, always, whenever I can. And them feeling protected and accepted is a massive thing. So they could always come to me when things was trippy, things were weird, things were going on, or I don't understand this. And if I didn't know the answer, I said, I'm not really sure about that. Leave it with me and I'm going to try and find out what that means or what's going on with that. I don't know. And then I'd come back to them and say, look, I found this. Does this resonate? Because they know the answers. They feel it all within their bodies. Learn to teach them how to know how to cope and know that they have the tools within them. That is so important. So be mindful of their energy. It's okay that they say no, that they don't want to go to a birthday party, even though it's their favorite fucking friend and you want to catch up with your girlfriends and it'd be an amazing time and unwind. But they know the energy in that birthday party is going to absolutely exhaust them. They're going to be wired to the hilt. They're not going to go to sleep that night. And the next day, they're going to be absolutely rattling and naughty, and you're thinking, God, is this actually worth it? Often it's not. I will be honest with you. Often it's not. So be okay that they don't catch up, and then they catch up at another time in a private sort of scene, just the two of them going to a park or a playground. It's okay to change the rules and not do it that way. Because our jobs as parents, that I believe, is to protect them, keep them safe and loved. And even in their spiritual dance, that is really the three core things that you work through. Knowing that they're accepted and loved for who they are with their beautiful magical gifts. Knowing that they're protected. Because even with my son, if he was on one of those roundabout sort of things that whizzed around in the shopping centres, you know, put 40 cents in or whatever, or probably $2 now, who knows, haven't done it for years, clearly. They go around and around and the kids go on the ride. There can be one guy that would come up and give my son a high five and my son will high five him. Then another guy would walk up and he would just shut down, head down, would not high five him no matter what. He would read their energy. He used to say to me, Mummy, that man has a black heart. I don't like that man. He's got a black heart. I would listen. If he felt that something was off, I would move like the wind because this kid knew. They know more. They are so heightened when they're little. So the thing is, find the things that they love. So we used to take my son down to the beach and he would just run so free. He would just feel so free at the beach. It was like he was home. And if it's like your son loves water, he likes to be outside or he likes to be at the river or go nature walking. Do those things. It creates the balance for them to be able to get through the rest of the week. So we used to do that. We'd just straight after school, big day at school. They're exhausted. They just needed some quiet time. We'd get sushi, jump in the car and go down the beach. Now, I had that flexibility. The beach is half an hour away from where I live. So I could easily fly down the main road and get to the beach. And we'd just sit there, eat, be an hour and then drive back. But so many people get in the box of not bending the rules, not being flexible. You know, so they go, no, we come home every night. We come home and we do this. Change it up. be in flow a bit more. Allow your kids to experience new things so they don't get routine, routine, routine. Otherwise, they're never going to go on adventures. Like, we live in that way. Like, we'll wake up on a Saturday morning and go, so what's happening? Should we just go down the beach for the day or whatever, pack some food and that? Yep, let's go. Like, we don't sit, right, so we're going to do this, we're going to do this. Now, on the weekend, on Monday or Tuesday, we're talking about what's happening on the weekend. Fuck no. We're in flow, man. I want my kids to be flexible. Like I say to my daughter, I want you to be able to just whack your hair up and go surfing for the day. Like, I don't want you worrying about, sure, you want to look nice and pretty and all that sort of stuff, but be flexible. Don't miss opportunities because something's not right. You know, it doesn't even matter if your bikini's not, like, done. Who cares? Whack some shorts on, go have some fun. Like, it doesn't matter. Be in flow, be adventurous, be flexible. And, you know, learning, because when they're spiritually gifted children, they can be so hypersensitive and set in their ways. It teaches them to be in flow, communication, you know, get in rhythm of their life and know that sometimes shit's hard and sometimes shit's really good. And that's okay. So those little things are big things often to spiritually gifted children. Massive things, actually. So if they need things to go to sleep with, allow them. They grow out of it. They always grow out of it. Generally, they grow out of it. Both my kids have always grown out of everything. Sometimes when my husband worked away, my son used to sleep in my bed most nights while my daughter was little. It was never a big deal. I knew that he wasn't going to sleep in my bed. There's no fucking way he would sleep in the same bed as me now. Do you know what I mean? Like, they grow out of it. They always grow out of it. It's very rare that they continue on that journey, unless it's fully enabled. You just be in flow, you know. Often they're sensitive to food as well. They'll want to eat certain foods. They'll want to eat white foods. They often, like when they're younger, they'll just eat plain pasta, mashed potato, you know, cucumbers, chips. Like, they don't, no sauce, no nothing. It's all plain as fuck all the time, majority of the time. So my kids were like that. My daughter was pretty good, actually. But she's not the traditional. She's the more spiritual warrior energy rather than the spiritual healer energy. She's a healer at heart. All her friends come to her with all their dramas. She is that person, and they are. So keeping them protected as they get older is really important as well, because they're emotional empaths. Everyone comes to them with all their dramas. And there's going to be moments where your kids fall in absolute heaps and go, why do I have to look after everyone? Why does everyone tell me all their secrets? Why do I have to carry all this weight when no one even checks on me? Because they don't understand the power that they hold. They are healers at heart. It's no different to me. Everyone comes to me with all their problems. It's what I do. It's who I am. I am a Reiki Seishem Karuna master. Like, I am dealing with people's problems constantly. But it's not very often someone say, how's everything going in your world, Kelly? What's happening? They see me rise and, you know, this podcast is blowing up and it's amazing and they're all excited for it. But no one really says, so how are you coping with that? How is this about this? They just assume everything's going well, everything's fine. And, you know, and it is majority of the time. But I probably have two friends that I can go to, shit is hard and I'm bawling my eyes out and I'm completely overwhelmed and what even the fuck is going on in my life right now? Because we have growing pains. We move and shift. And our children are the same. They have the weight of the world on them. So find things that can cleanse them before they go to sleep. And that's why we used to go down the beach or have a nice long bath or, you know, unwind or get them outside. Or like my kids, I would allow them to have electronics straight after school because they needed that downtime. They needed to reset and stop the noise in their head because often they get so many messages and so much communication and so much weight from school and guides are connecting in that when they would come home from school, they would listen to the electronics, like iPad, whatever you have, Xbox, whatever. And it was like the noise. And I'd say to him, dudes, like, why do you feel you need this so much? He goes, the noise stops, Mum. I'm really like, what noise? The noise, everyone trying to talk to me in my head. I'll be like, I get it. So he could just zone out. Now, I'm not saying all kids need this and monitor it, please, before anyone goes on a big rant about it. But for my children, this was a big thing. They needed the reset time. So they had an hour straight after school of electronics so they could breathe, so they could stop and feel the pressure of all the weight on them. So that was a big part of them. So they'd eat, nourish their bodies, and unwind. And then we would start our night and we'd go down the beach or we'd do this or do that. And it didn't matter. Like, there was no rules. And people say, you can't do that. You shouldn't do this. But you're expecting so much pressure from these beautiful children that are carrying so much energy, that are absorbing so much energy. Like, create the rituals where they can learn to cleanse it, talk about it, you know. And I say to my daughter, like, she's a vault with me often, and I'll say to her, just speak to someone. It doesn't need to be me. I don't need to be in control of that. I just need her to share her secrets with someone, whether it's a friend, another parent, I don't care. Share what's on your heart. Share what's on your shoulders, the weight of your shoulders. Share it out so someone else can carry the load with you. You don't always have to do it alone. You know, as children, they worry about us, and often as the emotional empaths that they do, they don't want to share us with their weight because they're worried that, you know, oh, that they know what it feels like, so I'll take it away from you, Mum. I'm like, dudes, mate. And I remember when he was getting bullied, and he was like year two, one or two, I can't remember. My memory's always shit, dyslexic, so I don't remember shit like that. I know the general, but I don't ever come, I can say, like, people that say, oh, that was in 1998 or whatever. I'm like, what the hell? I don't even fucking know what yesterday was in my head. I can't do that at all. But I remember saying to my son, why do you think this is okay? This is not okay that this person treats you like that. The sixth sense in him knew. And he would say to me, Mummy, he's not very happy at home and this makes him feel better. So I'm happy to cop it. And I'd be like, what the fuck? I'm like, well, I'm not happy that you cop it. Now, you know, Mummy's job is here to protect you and I am not going to allow this. This is not going to happen on my watch. You are not here to carry his pain, darling. You are not here to carry his pain. Like, that's how much of a healer and how into it he became at such a young age. Like, at year, when he was 4 years old, he went to kindy. He wanted to collect hands for the homeless. Like, I need to help. He was born to serve from teeny tiny. Now, most people go, oh, this is a drama, it's a heartache. Whereas I encouraged all of that stuff because it allowed him to be the healer in his own way. He came up with the back of a ute and a trailer full of cans and that. And we went into a homeless shelter and they were telling me, oh, this would be amazing. We're happy to put this in the cupboard so it's storage that we can provide food. And this is the protector energy. As a mother, this is what you do. I knew my son wanted to hand them out to the homeless. And I just said, that's okay. We can just go around to the parks and hand them out. And they're like, no, but we'd really love it in our storehouse, like in our cupboard. Like, we'd really love it so then we can provide them with constant food. And I'm like, I understand that. That is not what my son wants. He wants to be able to hand them out. He has made these bags up for each person. So they had a main meal, they had a dessert, they had a miniature coffee bag so they could make up their own coffee with the milk, and they had a pack of biscuits, and there was something else that he made and put in there for them. Like, it was all canned food. He spent the time. I mean, we must have had over 80 bags for 80 people in Adelaide as homeless bags. And then eventually they were like, okay, well, this is fine. He stood on the back of that ute and handed out those bags, and I have never seen him more alive in my life. It brings me to tears just even talking about the difference that he made that day. And the people that were in that homeless shelter, that were the helpers, that were, you know, I don't know whether they're volunteers, I'm not sure how it works. They were grown-ass men, big, strong, burly men, crying their eyes out, going, if this is the future, I'm fucking excited. And I was like, this is my son. And my daughter and I was all standing there, but he was the instigator. He'd created all these bags for these men. Like, now, as a child, unfortunately, sometimes the homeless can be scary. Like, these men were there. You could, as an adult, I could see high as kite, some of them beaten black and blue in the face, and he didn't even batter an eyelid. He just sees souls. He just saw souls when he was younger. That was it. And he stood there, absolutely fearless. Now, this child couldn't even walk into a birthday party unless I was holding his hand, or, you know, he needed to be protected with the energy. But in this environment, there was all these people lined up, like women, men, just, and he stood there strong as, and I was like, wow. I know I'm emotional. I'm emotional anyway. I'm an emotional empath. It's where he gets it from. It's who we are. But to allow him to be the difference. Imagine if I just thought that was too hard. Imagine if I didn't encourage the way that he could give back. These beautiful, spiritually gifted children are here to serve. This was a way, whether it's cleaning up the beach or planting trees or feeding the homeless. Allow them to venture into this. It sets their souls on fire in more ways than one. He did that for years. He did that for years till he was probably 10 or 11 and then he grew out of it. Then he was like, I've done my time, Mum. I was like, mate, you have. If that's not what you feel anymore, that's okay too, mate. It's all okay. What you've done, you've changed so many lives in that short amount of time. And my daughter, bless her, she had a bit of a take energy, so we had to try and teach her to give. Like every time we do it, she's like, what can I have? What's for me? What's this? I'm like, none of this is for you. This is people have donated and helped us to be able to get to this point, darling. With what do I get? You know, she had that energy. So I was like, right, I need to teach her. I need to show her the way. Now she's beautiful and she's very caring and it's all no drama. But she collected for women's shelters. She walked up. She must have been 7 or 8 when she started to really get into it. And she would walk up to the managers of Foodlands and say, I'm organising packages for women in domestic violence. Do you have any toothbrushes? Do you have any toothpaste? Do you have any pads? Do you have any clean knickers, deodorant, anything that would make them feel nice? Because when they go to those shelters, they feel really yucky. And they would provide all these beautiful donations for her because she just had such a spirit about her. She knew what she wanted. She would ask for it and it was never an issue. And that is the power in allowing your children to show up and be more than what they expect. Get them outside the box and be in flow. It's fucking powerful to allow them to express and serve and teach them to give back and be kind. Like little things were, you know, if something falls on the ground, pick it up. I don't care if it's an object, a person, whatever, pick it up. So my kids would move. They move now. If shit's on the ground, they'll pick it up. Like if a lady falls over, they'll pick her up. If someone drops some money, they'll pick it up. If someone drops their shopping, they pick it up. Like it's little things to help, to be kind. If you see an elderly lady struggling with her trolley, help her to her car. It takes no time out of your day. Our kids are born to serve. If they're spiritually gifted children and emotional empaths, they are here to serve. Teach them the way. Show them the way. Lead by example. Be the kindness in people's day. None of this is hard. It's not hard to teach. It's not hard to be. It's slowing down and getting your head out your own arsehole and looking up for a moment out of your phone and seeing what's actually happening in the world. That's all it is. It's a beautiful comment on someone's page or writing a beautiful review on, you know, someone's business page or your hairdresser's page or something like that. You know, I've been going to you years, I've been so happy. Like how many people you actually put a beautiful comment on their Facebook page so people could see it? Like there's so much opportunity for kindness and love out in the world. And I think I'm just here to remind you, even in this moment, that be the change. Lead the way. Teach your children how to be better humans in this way. That's one of the most beautiful gifts you could give them. So, yes, I hope that gives you some of an idea of raising spiritually gifted children and what sort of things they go through, what they feel and be, and the true magic in who they are and how precious their little souls are and how we are here to protect them and how they picked us to be their mamas or their fathers and to nurture them and know that it's a safe space for them to share their heartaches, their pains, their visions, their connections, whatever it is they're working through. Be an open vessel so they can receive and feel the love and the protection that you are here to give them. How magic, hey? How magic is the world really? And how magic that they got to pick us to be their parents. So big love to you all. Keep shining bright. Thank you once again for listening to this episode. And again, beautiful reminder, if you love what you hear, if you felt that this resonated, please write a review. It gives me an idea on what you want to hear, where you want to go, what our adventure can be in this beautiful realm, this beautiful connection through the podcast. And of course, just give you an update on what's happening in my world. I have opened up my mentoring sessions. They are available for you. You can message me, connecting on the socials. I do have my private one-on-one mentoring. I have my 45-minute intensives available. And, of course, the ultimate, my year-long program. It is all available to you. You can find them in all the places. I would love, if you want to go to the next level in your spiritual dance, work intimately with me. I'm here and ready and available to take you on that journey. So thank you. Thank you for listening. Keep shining. The world is a beautiful place if you allow it.